how the believers should live as they wait for Christ's return. And it talks about praying for leaders and praying for people and how they appoint leaders and so on and so forth. But it's principles about how Christians should live as we look for the coming of the kingdom. And in a sense, that's what's picked up in today's gospel reading, which is an interesting reading, to say the least. And I do notice that I've preached on this before. So next time, Charlie, it's going to be over to you. The gospel reading is part of a series that we've got in Luke. A series that starts off with a parable of the lost sheep and finishes with the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And through it, we see a picture of God restoring with joy, but restoring things that have been lost to their rightful place and their rightful owner. And the theme is that restoration. If we think of the lost sheep and the lost coin, it's interesting that we have a man and a woman, and it's likely that a sheep would have been about the same value as the coin that was lost. And perhaps both of them are some kind of an inheritance that has been received, you know, by the man or by the woman. But we know the stories, they were lost, they were found, there's rejoicing. They're then followed by the parable of the lost or prodigal son, where the son returns to the father, and there is rejoicing. And then we have this parable about the shrewd manager, the crafty manager, or whatever we want to call him. And it goes on to finish this little section with that the parable about the rich man and Lazarus, where we all know the story. The rich man has got worldly riches, dies, and so does Lazarus, who has nothing. And Lazarus is in heaven. The rich man sees him and says, you know, could somebody go and tell my family so that they don't misuse their riches? And we know the story well. It's, well, actually, even if somebody rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe it. And the very clear implication is, well, Jesus did rise from the dead, and there are people still who do not believe that there is more to this life than just earthly wealth and riches. But the theme that goes through it is this kind of restoration of what's lost. But as we go through, it builds to a crescendo of, actually, there is a time frame on when decisions have to be made, and ultimately, time will run out in terms of that restoration and putting right our side of what we need to be doing in terms of what we've been given, in terms of our riches, and in terms of the things that God has given us to be stewards of. So if we look at the passage, sometimes we think of what's going on in the rich young man with the steward and what we should be doing, and it's complicated when craftiness in that sense seems to be rewarded. But if you look at that theme of, you know, what's lost, then we see the passage in a slightly different context, because so who are the losers in this passage? Because there are kind of three different parties. There is the manager, there is the steward, and then there are the people who the steward is transacting business with. And we've got to look both ways, because when you look at what's happening to the manager's, to the master's goods, he's not losing anything. It's not that he's been swindled out of anything. It's not that he's not going to get back. what he owns, he's not losing out. He challenges the servant because the servant is misappropriating the use of that wealth. He's not using that wealth and those possessions as they should be used. He's kind of spreading them around a bit too much and making more from them than he should do. And there's some stuff in the notes about how business probably was transacted in those days. But the people who are losing out are the people who are transacting the business with the steward, and instead of paying back four, they have to pay back eight instead of... And we know the story. They're actually paying back more, perhaps, than they should. And that's where that sense of they're losing out. There is the lostness in the story. And Jesus challenges that. And what's happening to the riches of the master? Now, this must have been an uncomfortable hearing for some of the Jewish leaders, because they, in a sense, are the shepherds of the people of the Jewish faith, and they are the people charged with looking after the rich inheritance that the Jews have got. And all of a sudden, Jesus is telling them about sheep that are lost, things that are lost, inheritances that are lost, about people putting too much on others who need to be led. You know, the steward is putting too much on the people who are borrowing, who are lending things from the master. In the same way, you can think of the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, putting more into the law than was there, more than was intended by God. You know, they're putting too much on those people. And Jesus says, and there will be a time of reckoning. There will be a time when the master comes and just says, what's going on? And what you have in your responsibility will be taken away from you. Very clear picture emerges as we look at those stories together. So what does that mean for us then? Well, we too are called to look at the riches that God has given us and use them wisely for his kingdom. And again, that comes out in the gospel passage, to make sure that the way that we use our riches and the things that we have been given and the things that God has given us to look after in his creation, that we use them in a way that is positive for others, in a way that helps others come along into the kingdom, so they too can experience that joy of knowing Jesus, which again is the theme that comes through these passages, a celebration of when that which is lost is restored to its rightful place. But similarly, it's not just using them in that positive sense. It's making sure that people don't lose out. You know, by looking at, perhaps, things that we buy in our everyday life. You know, the ethical sourcing of what we have in our cupboards, you know, in the fridge. Or things that we buy, you know, all of those things. It's about making sure that we are integral with the way that we use our wealth, so that we both use it in a positive sense, but also in making sure that others aren't penalized by the way that we use our wealth. And because of the way the story is written, it's very easy to see it in just purely financial terms. What are we doing with the wealth that has been entrusted to us? What are we doing with the riches that we are looking after as part of God's creation? How are we as the stewards in the story? But it's also broader than that, because it challenges us to look at, are we shortchanging God in other ways? Are we shortchanging God in the way that perhaps we interact with him, in our times of prayer, in our times of study? Do we shortchange God there? Do we do anything that will help our relationship with God grow outside of what we do on a Sunday, for example? Is there a sense in which we are shortchanging God in our own lives? Is there a way that we're perhaps expecting too much of people and putting too much on them as we share the Christian faith with them and invite them to join with us on the journey? One of the most challenging articles that I read in recent years was an article in the Church Times, where they were doing what was called a health check on the Church of England. And one of the questions that was raised was, it's strange in some ways that the church wants to take in many places the moral high ground, but many people in our society see that the church can't take the moral high ground because of its attitude on things like sexuality, its attitude on things like women in leadership. There is that disjoint, and in some ways it's a complex issue, and I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but you know, is that an example of where we would want to put too much on people as we invite them to join with the faith that we have? It's so easy to slip into those ways. And we look at this parable of the crafty manager, the shrewd manager, difficult to translate that word, but we look at that parable and we can read into it and we can see so many different facets of, where do I fit into that parable? Am I being a good steward of what God has given me to look after? Am I using the riches that God has given us and given me to extend his kingdom? And am I expecting too much of those who we invite to join with us on the journey, rather than just seeing them as Christ sees them, as people to be loved, as people who are in need of a relationship with God through him? I think the parable that we have this morning, the story we have this morning, is complex. It's not easy in many ways to just pull out some of the simple truths. Some of Jesus' teaching is really quite simple. It's hard, but it's not terribly complex sometimes. This passage this morning challenges us to look at how we deal with our wealth, how we deal with others, and how we use all that we have for the extension of God's kingdom. Amen.
Thanks, Emily.